Today I'm going to continue with some more of the names of God. But before I delve into the names of God that I'm going to be looking at and focusing on today, there are a couple things I need to do. I need to clean up one error that I made last week, and then try to clean up a little bit of confusion from the handouts that I passed out last week. And the error that I made is on the handout that had listed the generations from Noah to Abraham. And I was going through it and looking at the Bible and then writing the names down and writing the dates down. And somewhere along the way, an E disappeared. And I have no idea what happened to this letter E. It was in one of the names of one of the descendants of Noah. And when I look back on it, I didn't realize that I had dropped the E in the name. And I just took it as that's the way the name was spelled. And I convinced myself that it was correct. But somebody pointed that out to me last week that it wasn't spelled correct. So the name on that list is written as P-L-E-G. It should be P-E-L-E-G. And I think it's Noah's great-grandson. But if you looked at that last week and you saw that and it didn't ring true to you, that's why. Somewhere there's an E floating around should have been on that list. I'm blaming it on spell check. But no, it's just I typed it incorrectly. So if you looked at that and thought it was incorrect, it was. So the other thing that was brought up to me, and it's something that I had already realized, is there's two names for God that if you know these names of God, you have often seen them spelled differently than what I spelled them on my list last week. And if you picked up a handout today, you will see these two names written two different ways. And what happens here is these names aren't simply translated from one language to another. They're what we know as transliterated. So they've taken the Hebrew letters and tried to match them the best they could with English letters, or more correctly, Latin letters, because we use the Latin alphabet, give or take a few letters. And it's somewhat akin to, I'll use Greek, for instance, because I know Greek I know Greek better than I know Hebrew. The truth of the matter is, I know a little bit of Greek. I don't know any Hebrew, really. But in Greek, there's a letter psi. It's spelled out as psi in English. And it's that letter that is used in the Greek word that we translate to Psalms. Psalmos is, and the word means to sing a song with a harp accompaniment. That's what the word Psalms comes from. In our English language, we spell it P-S-A-L-M. In Greek, it would be spelled Psi, would be the first letter. And for us, we just kind of drop the P. We make it a silent P and we say Psalms. For Koine Greek, which is the Greek that the common person spoke in the time of Jesus, it would have been said with a soft P, not a silent P. So it would be like Psi or Psalms. And you almost wouldn't even hear the P, but it would be there. We don't have a letter like that in English. So what we do is we spell it P-S-A-L-M instead of Psi, Alpha, and the rest of the Greek letters. It's the same thing transliterating Hebrew letters into English. There are some Hebrew letters that we just don't have in English. And so when we're writing out the names of God, there are times where there isn't a letter that corresponds correctly to the Hebrew letter. So some translators will write out, for instance, Elyon. They'll write it out as E-L-E-L-Y-O-W-N. Other translators will write it out as E-L-Y-O-N. And Elohim is written both E-L-O-H-I-M and E-L-O-H-Y-M. And so if you come upon that anywhere in your study of God and who He is and His names, and you see the two different spellings, that's why it is, because the names are transliterated, not translated. They're taken letter for letter as best we can from the Hebrew letters moving into English. And sometimes there just isn't the correct letter, and so they do the best that they can. And it's just a difference of opinion in the translator as to how they should be spelled. Okay, with that said, we'll move into the names of God that I want to look at today. And I'm going to be looking at four different names of God today. But before I get to that, I want to read a psalm that just stood out to me, because it's Psalm 145, the first of the last five psalms in the book of Psalms. In these last five psalms are all about praising God. Each one of them talks strongly about praising God. Psalm 145 was written by David, and he uses a unique distinction here. He not only talks about praising God, but he talks about praising the name of God. And there's two reasons why I wanted to bring this song, read the psalm to you today. And one of them is because, if you'll remember, I talked about how the Jews, when they returned from the exile in Babylon, decided at some point that the name of God was too holy to say aloud. But if we go back and we read Scripture and we study Scripture, we'll see over and over again that God used His name in a way for us to be able to use His name to communicate and to praise His name. And this is what David does in this psalm. Psalm 145, I will extol Thee, O my God, O King. And I'm just going to break there for a second to say, when he says, I will extol Thee, my God, that's Elohim, the general name for God. I will extol Thee, my God, and O King. I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless Thee. I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of Thy majesty, and on the wonderful works of I will meditate. And men shall speak of the power of Thy awesome acts, and I will tell of Thy greatness. They will eagerly utter the memory of Thine abundant goodness, and shall shout joyfully of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and is merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall give thanks to Thee, O Lord. In Thy goodness one shall bless Thee. In the godly ones shall bless Thee. They shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom and talk of Thy power, to make known the sons of men the mighty acts in the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. The kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all the generation. The Lord sustains all who fall, and rises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to thee, and thou dost give them the food in due time. Thou dost open thy hand, and dost satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, and to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He will also hear their cries and save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 145. And I really, as I read and reread and reread again that psalm, I'm just taken by David's looking at who the Lord is and seeing his majesty, but mostly seeing how much he loves us and how much he cares for those who have put their faith in him. And I think as we look at the names of God, we see this over and over again. All these names declare his glory, but all these names show us his great love for his creation. The creation he intended to have fellowship with forever. So the names that I want to look at today are on the list that I gave you. And I foolishly made the mistake of coming up here without the list itself, because I had written on that list numbers so that I could refer to them. The numbers on that list have nothing else to do with the names of God other than I wanted to be able to refer them, the names by the numbers, so it would be easy to see. And somebody is going to be gracious to me and give me a copy. Thank you so much. I also wanted to say another question that was asked to me last week was, if I'm watching this on Facebook, how can I get the handouts? And Teresa and I are working towards getting them posted on Facebook. So we're going to try to have that done today so that if you're watching on Facebook, you'll be able to see that list. All right. So the names that I'm going to be looking at today are starting with what's number 5 on my list, El Roy. And this is the name that is translated roughly, God who sees me. And I want to get into that in just a minute, but before I get into that, I wanted to emphasize really that these numbers mean nothing other than this is a way for me to reference them to you. Okay, so El Roy. El Roy comes from Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. It is the name. Now, the names that we've talked about up till now, many of the names are names that God has identified himself to us. This is who I am. This is my name. This name in particular is not a name that God gave to us to identify himself by, but this is a name, and the names that we'll be looking at today are names that we have given to God to identify him, or because of a particular circumstance or something that happened, that we said, okay, now this is who God is. And this is the name that Hagar gives to God. Now, I want to go back and give you a little bit of an overview of who Hagar is. If we remember the story of Abraham, Abraham and his wife and his nephew leave Ur of the Chaldees and goes to Canaan. When they get to Canaan, God appears before Abraham and tells him that he is going to be have children that outnumber the stars. And he leaves it at that, pretty much. And Hagar and Abram and Sarai, because their names haven't been changed yet, realize that, okay, Sarai doesn't have any children. She is old. She's beyond childbearing years. She doesn't have any children. So she comes up with a plan to give her handmaiden to Abraham to be the mother of his children. And she becomes as a wife to him. One of the really interesting things I discovered in studying this is up until this time, well, throughout all the time that it's talking about Abraham and Sarai, when they're addressing each other about Hagar, they never once use her name. Her name isn't identified until God speaks to her, or Moses writing this says this is Hagar, her handmaiden. But Abraham and Sarai never use her name. She is an Egyptian slave that belonged as a handmaiden to Sarai. And in that culture, she would have been basically unseen. She would have been there to serve and to do their bidding. But really, beyond that, they wouldn't have noticed her. Sarai gives Hagar to Abraham. He takes her as a wife. She becomes pregnant. And at the point she becomes pregnant, she begins to despise Sarai. Sarai realizes this and goes to Abraham and complains, this handmaiden, she despises me. Abraham says, she is your handmaiden, do with her as you please. And so Sarai treats her hostilely. And Hagar flees. She gets to a well out in the wilderness, or a spring. It's some versions translated as well, some translated as springs. And God comes to her and said, from where do you come and where are you going? Well, she answers the from where do you come right away. And she tells him where she comes from, but there is no answer to where are you going. And it appears from the context of it then that she has no idea what's going to happen next. She has no idea what her life is going to look like after this point. And God makes a promise to her that she will have a son, and he says that you shall name him Ishmael, and that he will be like the stars in heaven. His children will be like the stars in heaven. They will not be able to be numbered. Go back to Sarai and Abram. And she looks at God and she says, he is El Roy, the God who sees me. Up until this point, as a slave, she had not known the type of love that is able to see her for who she is. This isn't the kind of statement that she says, this is the God who sees me and I have to be careful because I fear his condemnation. But this is the God who sees me for who I am and loves me. So as we see this name, El Roy, We see the name, the God who sees me. And it carries the implication, the God who sees me and loves me for who I am. In spite of who I am, he loves me. The name Elroy. The next name that I want to get to is the name, and we know this name and we transliterate this name as Jehovah Jireh. And it is, as I can find it, number 11 on the list on the last page. If we remember, Hebrew doesn't have J's. So as we moved from Hebrew to Greek to Latin to English, it kind of evolved and was ended up being translated as Jehovah Jireh. For the Hebrew, it would be Yahweh Yireh. And it means I am, will provide. And this is actually technically never been a name of God. This is the name that Abraham uses when he is about to sacrifice his son Isaac. So we remember back to the story of Abraham and Isaac, and God tells him, take your son and go up to the mountain and sacrifice him. And as Abraham is getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, he hears a rustling in the bushes, and it's a ram caught in the thicket. And instead of sacrificing the ram, or his son, Abraham is able to sacrifice the ram. This is a sacrifice of atonement. And this is a picture of Christ. This is a picture of who Christ would be. That Christ would come as an atonement for our sins. That the sins that we deserve to die for are paid by Christ as that atonement. After Abraham sacrifices the ram, he builds an altar to God and says, names it Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees. We translate it as the God who will provide, because the concept of the God who sees is the God who sees our needs, the God who knows what we need and provides it. This is Jehovah Jireh. And the really interesting thing to me is this word comes from the very same root word as Elroy. The word to he sees me is the same as the God who sees. And so Hagar, in her despair, as she has fled from Sarai, and encounters God, and God makes a promise to her and makes a covenant with her, she looks at God and she says, this is the God who sees. It's that same root as what Abraham uses when he receives the ram, sacrifices it, and then builds an altar to God. It's the God who sees our needs and loves us and provides for us. The next name for God that I want to look at is the word Yahweh Nissi. And it is number 8 on the list. And it comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse... I just got the wrong reference. It comes from Exodus 17. And if we remember back to the story of the Exodus, God leads the children, God uses Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of their bondage and their slavery. And he brings them out into the wilderness. And because of their disobedience, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And we reach a point, and the children of Israel, you know, I am so much different than they are, because I just trust God for everything and just follow as I know I should. And but you know, the children of, no, I don't, never mind. The children of Israel, any little hardship that came up, they started complaining. And you know, I'm right there with them. I'm right there with them. And I suspect each of us are right there with them, because we tend to doubt that God is El Roy and God is Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides. And the children of Israel were in the wilderness wandering, and they had no water, and they complained, and God provided the water by telling Moses to take his staff and to strike a rock, and water poured forth. This is the God who provides. After that, some of the descendants of Ishmael, who had become a nation by that time, came and attacked the children of Israel. And Moses instructed, name just slipped my mind, Joshua. Moses instructed Joshua to gather men together and go out and fight with them. And Moses is standing back watching over this. And he raises his staff up in the air. And as his staff is up in the air and his hands are up in the air, the children of Israel are defeating the nation that's come, descendants of Ishmael that have come against them. After a while, Moses' hands got heavy and he put them down. And as soon as he put them down, the enemy started winning the battle. He raised them up again, but he didn't have the strength to hold his hands up the whole time. So Aaron and another man came and they put a rock under Moses and they had him sit on the rock, and one of them on each side held up each of his arms. And as he held up his arms, the children of Israel were successful in defeating the nation that had risen up against him, the nation that was descendant from Ishmael. After this point, Moses built a memorial to the Lord, and he named it Yahweh Nissi, which is to say, the Lord is my banner. And I just looked at what I wrote here, and it's Yahweh N-E-I-S-S-E, and I don't know how that happened. It should be N-I-S-S-I. And I made the change, but somehow it got changed back. So it should be N-I-S-S-I. The Lord is my banner. And from the implication there, it's really saying the Lord is my refuge. Under his guidance, I will be safe. Under his guidance, I will have victory. The Lord is my banner, Yahweh Nissi. The final name for God this morning that I want to look at is the name, it's number 9 on the list, Yahweh Tsidkenu. And this word comes from a root, tzedek, which means righteousness. When tzedek becomes tsidkenu, it changes it to having a personal pronoun put with it. Our. God is our righteousness.
But the root word, tzedek, carries the connotation that he is making us, or we are becoming his righteousness. And this comes back, and it's each one of these words that I've used this morning is just used one time in Scripture. Well, this one is actually used twice in Scripture, but it's both in Jeremiah. It comes from the time of Jeremiah when, and I'll go back and give a little history lesson. If my granddaughter were here, she'd be rolling her eyes saying, oh, history. But the history of this word comes from the time where after David was king, his son Solomon was king, his grandson Jeroboam became king, and at that point, the nation of Israel divided into two nations, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. The nation of Israel to the north had 10 tribes, the nation of Judah to the south had 2 tribes. The nation of Israel had repeated kings who were ungodly, kings over and over again who didn't serve the Lord, who served idols. At that point, God judged their disobedience and brought them into captivity under the nation of Syria. Syria came in and took the 10 northern tribes, and they're known today as the Lost Tribes because when they were taken into captivity in Syria, they never returned to Israel. After that, the nation of Judah, the 2 tribes, struggled back and forth between good kings and bad kings. And they came to a point where they had a bad king that was leading in a bad way, and the Babylonian kingdom came, and Nebuchadnezzar came and laid siege to Jerusalem. At that point, Nebuchadnezzar appointed a new king. He didn't take Israel into captivity yet, but he appointed a new king. And the new king was Zedekiah. Now, I just pronounced a few moments ago to you, Zedekinu. Does that sound familiar to Zedekiah? Because it comes from the same word. And I think as Jeremiah is prophesying, there's a word play here, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But Nebuchadnezzar appoints Zedekiah to be king. And Jeremiah goes to Zedekiah and he counsels him on how he should be king and how he should live a godly life and how he should lead the nation of Judah as a godly king. And Zedekiah ignores his advice. And God in his judgment allows Babylon to come and take the nation of Judah and carry them into captivity in Babylon. And as Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because of the sadness and the sorrow that was happening both in the nation of Israel and in the nation of Judah at that time. In Jeremiah, in prophesying, he prophesies about the time where a branch of the root of David will come and bring the nation of Israel back. And in this prophecy, he speaks of Yahweh Tzedekenu, which is God is our Redeemer, or God is our righteousness. It is a future prophecy which is looking at the coming of Christ to be
the payment for our sins, and then the future of coming of Christ when he comes again and brings the nation of Israel back to the Holy Land and the people of Judah back to the Holy Land. And he says in this, God is our righteousness. God is the one who makes us righteous. In this, he is prophesying who Christ would be. This is who God is. He is our righteousness. As we look at these names of God and as the way God describes himself and as we describe God, we see over and over and over again God's incredible love for us. God's ability to be the one who sees. God's ability to love as only God can love. For God is love. And we see God is the one who sees us. We see God is the one who sees us and provides for us. We see God who is our refuge. And we see God who is our righteousness. The names of God over and over again tells us the glory and the majesty of God. And that's why I wanted to start this morning by having read Psalm 145. Because in that, David lays out so clearly how much God loves us, cares for us, and provides us. The same thing that we see as we look at the names of God. He is the one who loves us, who cares for us, and who provides us. The God that sees us for who we are and loves us in spite of our sins and provides what we could never do, and that is to provide a means to forgive us our sins. We can't ever pay that price. But he also provides for us that relationship and that growing relationship as we come to know him more and more. Next week, as we continue to look at the names of God, I'm going to be turning to the New Testament, to some of the names that are used to describe God, some of the names that are used to describe Jesus. And won't be looking so much at the Hebrew, but now looking at the Greek terms that are used for God and the Aramaic terms for God. And I probably should save this for next week, but I'll get into it a little bit this week. As we look at the Greek translation of who God is, you know, I grew up thinking, okay, well, Jesus spoke Hebrew. But really, in that culture, he more likely spoke Aramaic, because Aramaic was the common language of the nations there, both Israel and the nations that surround it. So the average person growing up in that era would have spoke, if they lived in Israel, would have spoke Aramaic. They would have known Hebrew because they would have known how to read the scriptures, because at that point, when you were 12 years old, you would have been to Torah school and you would have memorized the first five books of the Bible in Hebrew. The Greeks had overrun Israel, and Greek was the common language for most of that part of the world that was at that time the known world. And then the Romans came, so Latin was also spoke. So when Jesus grew up, he most likely spoke, the average Israeli child most likely spoke Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin all fluently, because they would have had to been able to communicate that. I have trouble just with English. So we'll be looking at that next week. But I want to leave you with this thought, that as God describes his names for us, and my title for my list of names is Names of God, a little bit longer list. Because last week I gave out the handout that was a short list of the names of God. Because there are more than 100 different names that are used for God in Scripture. And these names are the description of who God is, because of how important names are. It is, the names are who God is. And each of these names point back to God's love, his mercy, and his grace in his interaction with man. And what an awesome God we love and we serve, that in spite of our sin, in spite of the fall of man, he loved us enough not only to just give his son to die on the cross for us, but to bring us into a close relationship with him, to spend eternity forever with him in that love relationship that he desired with us from the start. What a great God we serve. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for revealing yourself to us in the names that are used for you. Help us to be mindful of you in the things that we do, that we might remember who you are and love you for who you are, because you have first loved us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.